Kate Delaney. Happy to be here with you as always. We zig and zag all over the place. But one thing we do at the top of the show, we go inside the Beltway, going to D.C. with Talk Radio News. Once again, Jeff Holtzman, 2 days in a row. Wow. So there's so many people in the bullpen. We get one of the starters 2 days in a row. He's gonna love that. I know it. Jeff, did you like that? That's a compliment.
Yeah. My arms, feeling pretty warm these days. So they decided to give me the start again tonight. So what can I say?
Hey, speaking of a new pitcher, the new press secretary, Jay Carney, gets indoctrinated into his new gig, let's say, with the reporters at the White House, because after 2 days of no briefing, nothing, he shows up, and this was his inaugural briefing. How did that go?
Yeah, I think that it was, you could really tell that Robert Gibbs was not behind the podium today. I think, first of all, the briefing room was packed. I haven't seen it that crowded in a while, probably not since the president appeared in the briefing room a couple weeks ago. But nonetheless, reporters really gave Carney, their best shot today. He had a couple good back and forth with Jake Tapper from ABC News. If you go on Real Clear Politics, and in fact, we have video of this as well on our website, there are a couple instances where Carney, doesn't really have it all together. There was a question, I believe, that Tapper asked him about the situation in Egypt and the Suez Canal with, there have been reports that, there are Iranian warships in the Suez Canal near Egypt, and Carney didn't have anything on that. He said, I'm going to have to refer you to the State Department. I got nothing for you. So that was kind of eye-opening. It's not surprising. It was the guy's first briefing. Of course, he's really only been doing PR for 2 years. He was a longtime journalist with Time Magazine. So this has to be somewhat of a shock for him to be, in this room, with all these eyes on him and all these questions being fired at him. We'll see if it gets any easier. I know that he will be briefing again tomorrow, so we'll see how day two goes. Friday, probably not, because the president's going to be on the West Coast. But it should be interesting to see if Carney looks any different tomorrow than he did today.
There you go. We're on the Carney watch. I love it. It sounds kind of funny, but we're on the Carney watch here on America Tonight. Read into that whatever you want to. Hey, speaking of reading into things, what was fascinating, and I happened to catch a bunch of this, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie pushing Congress to talk about the programs like Social Security and Medicare, really the solvency of them, and got some jabs in over entitlement reform in general. What your thoughts on his speech? I said we zig and zag all over the place. I think he kind of did that.
My thoughts, and if you'll allow me to interject my opinion, I think Chris Christie should run for president immediately. And it's interesting because he gave a speech today. It was billed as sort of his coming out party, his national rollout of sorts. And this is a guy who really hasn't spent a whole lot of time in Washington. But earlier in the day, it was announced that the RGA, the Republican Governors Association, had tapped him to become their next vice chairman. So he's going to be the number two on the RGA, which, of course, will make him a little more of a prominent figure on the national circuit. And, of course, today, then, he gives this massive, this 45-minute speech, which I would encourage everybody to go watch if you didn't catch it live, and basically just went after leaders in Washington on their inability and their refusal to make the tough decisions to lower our deficits and to shrink our debt. He talked a lot about going after entitlement reform talked a lot about how he's gone after pensions in the state of New Jersey as a way of addressing that state's budget shortfall, which by when he took over in 2010 was at about $9 billion, which is a lot. I think he gave a very, very good speech. He mixed a good amount of humor into it, told some stories, told one story about taking on the firefighters union right after he had decided to delay their pension payments. And he said that they booed him when he took the stage. And he said to them, is that all you got? So, this guy clearly has a lot of character, a lot of charisma. I think somebody who could take on President Obama in 2012, but we'll see. At the end of the speech, there was a little Q&A session, and Christie insisted that he's not running for president. He said, what do I have to do aside from committing suicide to prove to you guys that I'm not running for president? But we'll see. There are a lot of people that are going to be urging him to run.
There you go. I agree with you, too, by the way. That's kind of been floated. You know this, that trial balloon, even though he's denying it, has been floated around. So we'll see. You never see, even though it might be in the back of your head, you know what that game is. It's like the Potomac two-step. You never want to commit until you're sure you're dancing.
Well, you know, and I was talking to my colleague Justin Duckham about this, and you know, Justin's take was that Christie should wait till 2016 to run. I think he should run in 2012. I just think that, you know, a real strong candidate has yet to emerge right now with the GOP. I mean, a lot of people are talking about Mitt Romney, and some are talking about Tim Pawlenty, but I think Christie could wipe the floor with both of those guys. And, you know, we'll see. I don't know if President Obama's approval rating is going to be higher, you know, when the race starts to heat up, you know, for 2012 than it is now. And I think Christie would have a good shot at unseating him. Some folks, Justin being one of them, say wait till 2016, you know, when there's no clear, you know, Democratic candidate, you know, to replace President Obama. So we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, I'm hoping that he throws his hat in the ring.
Yeah, I think he'd be strong. I agree. Fuzzy math seems to be a big problem in D.C., and especially when we're talking about this budget. I mean, you know, it's been this tug of war back and forth. Every day it's a different saga about what could be slapped off and what needs to be preserved, and the president threatening the veto power, basically, when we talk about 2011, that would stop off on 2012, because for some reason people forget we really don't have a budget for 2011, and the clock is ticking on that. So with this budget that just was dropped in Washington and what the specific numbers are, I hear the numbers are way off, that they're wrong.
Well, what the president's budget proposal for 2012 said was that, you know, the deficit might go up in the short term, but eventually it projects the deficit to come down to about $620 billion or so by 2017. And the president, of course, then, you know, the next day, yesterday at his news conference, said, you know, that he's fulfilling a pledge that he made when he, you know, became president,
yeah,
to cut the deficit in half after his first term. But what a lot of people are questioning today is the amount of debt, the amount of money, basically, that our federal government is going to have to borrow to pay off all these interest payments on the debt. And that's something, you know, that the administration, whether they used funny math or whether they were a little misleading, you know, that's open to interpretation. But the bottom line is, you know, the spending proposals in the president's budget won't necessarily increase the debt, but the interest payments on the debt means that we'll still have to borrow money. And you know, a lot of people, Republicans and other critics, made light of that today. There was a hearing yesterday in which Jack Lew testified. He's the OMB director now. And John Ensign basically ripped him over that and said, you know, you're lying to the American public. And Lew said, well, you know, that's kind of how we do it in Washington. We don't put those calculations out. so it was a pretty interesting back and forth. But nonetheless, that's something that I think the administration is going to have to answer a lot in the coming days, is what about all these interest payments and how serious of a problem will it be?
Yeah, no kidding. I agree with you 100%. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News. As always, we appreciate it, Bud. It's been fun doing this with you, kicking it around. Thanks. All right, so coming up next here on ATN, it's Black History Month, and we're going to get a different twist from an interesting man who writes a very popular blog on AOL. I think you'll enjoy Dr. Watkins. That's coming up around the bend.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines. It seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-3. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-3 and begin to see a different world.
Black History Month, and we've been talking about it, of course, celebrating some wonderful people. And we're very pleased to welcome to America tonight Dr. Boyce Watkins from AOL's blackvoices.com. You got to check out the stuff. What's interesting is Dr. Watkins, is taking a little bit of heat, I think, because I'm just going to say this. I said this to a couple of people, a couple of my friends. I have a friend named Cedric. I told him this today, and he said, oh, I want to be there for this interview. So this is one of the things that Dr. Watkins has said. He talked about, in talking about Black History Month, and we're going to let him speak for himself too, by the way, but because he's waiting in the wings. But when talking about Black History Month, he apparently suggested to family and friends and whatnot that Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin and the Tea Party Express have just as important a role to play in Black History Month this year. So you sit and you think about it and you think, wait, where's he going with this? So without further ado, let's welcome in from our virtual green room, Dr. Watkins. Thanks for popping on America Tonight. We appreciate the time. And I hit you with this right at the top, but I know that you had a lot of people look at you, I'm sure, very quizzically. This is radio, so I know that people are thinking the same thing. What did you mean when you said that?
Well, I meant it in a couple of ways. One, one's the, sort of the nice way and one's sort of the not-so-nice way. I'll start with the bad news first. So the bad news is that basically every hero sort of needs a villain. Whenever you see a poster of Michael Jordan dunking a basketball, it always looks better when he's dunking over someone than dunking by himself. And if you look through all throughout Black history, you know, our quest toward racial progress as a people has always sort of led to our having to confront someone that's deemed to be an enemy of progress. And that might, for example, 150 years ago have been the slave owners. And then later on, it was maybe the Ku Klux Klan. And then after that, it was, you know, guys like Bull Connor and others who didn't want to see African Americans have equal rights. And the list goes on and on. And so really, if you follow that timeline and that trend, you can see that, you know, in modern day America, Sarah Palin and the Tea Party are the closest thing we have to being enemies of racial progress by sort of attacking and consistently harassing the first Black president. So that's the bad news. You want to hear the good news?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the good news. The good news is that when I have conversations with people that are in my circle, like, for example, Reverend Al Sharpton, who I'm actually doing a rally with right now in Ohio for educational equality, you know, we actually both agree that there is an admirable quality to what the Tea Party has accomplished in America. I mean, the fact that they were, you know, they were – to some extent representing the very best of America by saying, look, we don't like the way the country's being run. We don't like the direction that the country's moving in. We're going to mobilize our resources and stand up and make our voice heard. And as a result of that, they've accumulated a tremendous amount of political power and actually changed the shape of our country for bad or good, right or wrong. And, you know, really, that runs right in the tradition of some of our greatest black American heroes. So depending on how you look at it, I think Sarah Palin and the Tea Party really represent the universal aspect of sort of fighting for what you believe is right, or which to me is part of what America's all about.
Absolutely. Amen. I agree with you. That's it. I mean, it shows you, too, it's that power to the people. Voices are out there. You know, you got to get up off the couch. You got to, whatever it is. Struggle is struggle. And, yeah, pointing to it, I understand the analogy. It makes sense now. So Black History Month, I've wondered this. I mean, how long officially have we celebrated Black History Month? How long has that been?
Well, I want to say it was the start of the 20th century. Carter G. Woodson effectively came up with the concept of Negro History Month. And basically, that sort of evolved through time into – sorry, he came up with Negro History Week, excuse me, not month. He didn't jump in and ask for a month. He asked for a week at first. And he actually said that he hoped that one day we wouldn't need a Black History Week, you know, but at that time we definitely needed one. And later on it became Black History Month. And so after Woodson did what he did, in, which was about 1926, you know, America began to embrace the concept. And as time went on, it became official.
And do you think if you go back in history and then we fast forward to today, do you think Black History Month, especially with younger kids of all different colors, all different creeds, backgrounds, whatever you would want to say, you know, we live in a multicultural society. Do they get it? Do they understand that? Do they understand Black History Month, do you think? Do you think that educators are doing a good job?
I think that educators, I think it varies across the board, but I'd say on average, we still really haven't done enough to understand our history, not just our Black history, but also our nation's history. When you talk about race relations and you talk about, you know, racial healing in America, it's not something that is, it's sort of like doing surgery by using, you know, Band-Aids and not even breaking the skin. You can't do major surgery that way. You have to really dig deep and to make it work. And I think in America, every year we have very polite celebrations of Black history and Martin Luther King Day, and, you know, we hold hands and sing We Shall Overcome. But we got to realize that to heal a 400-year-old problem, it's going to take some very deep, very painful reflection and dealing with some institutions that are long established that were built on a racially imbalanced foundation. So I think that we're trying as a country to do better, but I think understanding our history will allow us to realize just how deep and insidious racial inequality has always been in America.
Yeah, and so you say in your columns, you talk about it. You talk about the fact that what we're saying here, Black History Month, is for other, not just children, but for other non-Black folks as well. And if more people were educated in general, that would make a difference, and then eventually it could come true. I'm saying, these are my words, that it would just be everybody's history. I mean, wouldn't that be the day you'd wish that it would be everybody's history?
Yeah, I think so. I, you know, because I believe that most Americans have some degree of respect for Black History Month. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, you have the yahoos on the extreme who you know, aren't, you know, happy with Black people no matter what we do. But then I think most Americans, even those who might stand in the way of progress in some cases, I don't think they really intend on trying to be racist. It's sort of like when I do something that's sexist and you know, and my mother or my sister or my daughter tells me, you know, that was really bad. You shouldn't do that as a man. You shouldn't say that. And I say, well, what did I say? And I have a choice at that point. I can either say, oh, you guys are just overreacting and being hypersensitive, or I can say, well, explain to me how I hurt you, and I'm going to try to learn from that. And I think that that makes the difference when it comes to pursuing real racial healing in America.
Yeah, and boy, I agree with you. Tell us about what you were talking about. You just mentioned it briefly, in Ohio, and you're there with the Reverend Al Sharpton. Tell us about that.
Well, we're holding a rally for educational equality, not inequality. We don't want that. And it's in relation to the case of Kelly Williams Bolar, which you may have seen in the national media.
Yeah.
She's a woman that was sent to jail for sending her kids to the wrong school district. And, you know, I don't doubt for one second that Kelly didn't break the law. I believe that she did. But I think that in the tradition of Dr. King, there's a point where you have to confront and acknowledge unjust laws and sometimes break them in order to make our country better. Because my fundamental question is, why would someone have to break the law in order to get an equal education for their children? So that's why we're here. And the case goes beyond more than just one person. We're sort of using this to say, you know, let's educate our entire society on the fact that we don't need to have a two-tiered educational system, which is what we have right now.
Yeah, I agree with you, boy. And it just, it seems like it's, I don't know why this is, but education in general, we're seeing, of course, the cuts and everything. But I think it's, in some areas, it's getting worse. Do you find that? Are you getting that? Do you get those kind of responses at blackvoices.com when the issue is raised?
Yeah, education is certainly getting worse in America, not just for people of color, but for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people get mad about that whole story about the tiger mom who pushes her kids to be the best. And I say, no, we need a whole bunch. We need about 100 million tiger moms in the United States that
yeah.
are going to help our kids understand that if you want to compete with the kids in other countries, you got to step up to the plate. You know, we're too nice. We spoiled our kids and made them, you know, chubby little lazy suckers that don't, you know, believe in learning. And I don't think that's good for America's future. So that same pressure I put on Black American children to pursue excellence, I put that on all children. You know, so I think at the end of the day, we know that our educational system is failing. And if we don't make that into a national emergency and a national priority, we are going to be in serious trouble.
Boy, I so agree. I cannot believe some of the things that I've seen lately. What's the best thing for you? This is our last question. What's the best thing for you, Dr. Watkins, about doing Black Voices, because it's really growing. What did I read? That 4 million unique visitors a month? That's terrific.
Ah, thank you, thank you. Yeah, we're doing well, and AOL's been really supportive, and were you asking me what's the best thing about
Black
Voices?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you can get a little bit of everything. If you want to get a good Black perspective, we're the leading Black news website in the country, and we're always on top of everything. And we use the term Black Voices plural because, you know, at the end of the day, our goal is to help Americans to appreciate the humanity and the heterogeneity of the Black population by realizing that there is no one way to be Black. So I don't care if you're as conservative as Alan West and Michael Steele or as liberal as, you know, Barack Obama or the Black Panthers. The truth is, at the end of the day, we're just as diverse as every other population in America, and there's really no one way to be Black.
What a great note to end on. I agree. All right, thank you so much, Dr. Watkins. Check it out, everybody. Go to AOL's blackvoices.com. Thank you.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeCig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeCig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeCig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeCig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeCig.com. That's LeCig.com. LeCig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeCig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeCig.com, LeCig, for today's modern smoker.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-877-814-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-814-MYTV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-877-814-MYTV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-814-MYTV. 1-877-814-MYTV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-814-MYTV. 1-877-814-MYTV.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
You really can lose weight while you're sleeping. Guaranteed. AffinityDiet.com introduces Lose and Snooze and the One Day Diet. Great tasting Lose and Snooze from AffinityDiet.com is the first step in our guaranteed weight loss system. Lose and Snooze will help your body get a deep restorative sleep without the harmful side effects of pharmaceutical drugs. And during deep natural sleep, your body starts to shed unwanted pounds, build lean muscle, and lose inches. Add AffinityDiet.com's One Day Diet waivers and your metabolism keeps going with all the vitamins and minerals you need with no rebound effect. But don't worry, you're never more than 24 hours from your favorite foods. Learn more about Lose and Snooze and the One Day Diet at AffinityDiet.com, spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y diet.com, or call toll-free 855-663-3438. That's 855-663-3438. Finally, a diet that succeeds where others have failed, from AffinityDiet.com.
Just walk away, pretending everything's okay, and you don't care about me. And I know it's just no use when all your life.
So welcome back to America Tonight. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across the country. Remember, I don't care about your political stripes, right, left, confused, don't care, sick of every single political thing that there is. So you get what I'm saying here. 800-259-5791. I'll say it again because it's really tough to write down those numbers. 800-259-5791. You heard there in that conversation with Dr. Watkins. I like what he had to say at the end, where he talked about this, the fact that, black comes in many different shades as well. Meaning you have the conservative black folks and the most liberal that you could possibly think of. And at the beginning of that conversation, we talked about where Black History Month should end up. And the fact of the matter is, it should end up that it's everybody's history, like I said. Because then you get into that differentiating thing. And then you get people saying, well, where's White History Month? I mean, it's crazy. But what happened was there was so much ignorance and so much lack of attention paid that it was like a catch-up thing, right? And I think he made some very, very good points in that conversation. I really do. It begs the question, can't we just, is there not a way to break this? It's like I was in Turks and Caicos. It's just a resort area, right? And, of course, primarily everyone's black. And in hanging with the people that I knew, they said an interesting thing to me. The one guy that we were with the entire time said, you know, you people, I wouldn't want to be a black man in your country, no offense, because of all the separation between the races that you have. You know, here, nobody care, nobody's looking at that. And, of course, overwhelmingly, the people on Turks and Caicos and the islands are black. But his point, touche, was taken that, yeah, we're, you know, we do what we would do. And, you know, we don't even think about it. We don't even think about the separation of the colors. And if you want to be cynical, you could say, well, of course not, because, you know, you're like the king of the island and no one's going to question you. They're going to bow down to you. But it's strange to think of where we've come. And we've had this conversation before on ATN. It's like going back when we talk to Stephen Shohat and we talk about back in television history. And you think of All in the Family. We had that discussion a couple of weeks ago. Today, do you think All in the Family would get a shot on anyone's roster in the primetime schedule? No, I don't think so. Not what they were saying. Not the kind of things that Archie Bunker, the character Archie Bunker said that Carol O'Connor played, or some of the things that they talked about on this show. They'd water it down. The PC police would water it down. That's what would happen. So anyway, let's catch up on some other things happening this week as we get closer and closer, believe it or not, to yet another weekend. Of course, the budget. And we're going nowhere fast with that. There's still a little bit of time to play with before the government shuts down, because there is the threat of that. And then there is, in the midst of everything that's happening in our country, the reverberations of Egypt and the so-called democracy. Well, now, just a couple of days after Mubarak is booted, let's face it, it's less than a week, from the country, the military people who are ruling, let's say, the ruling party, have been heavily criticized from the young and from the female groups in Egypt and Cairo because they're not making decisions openly and they're not including everybody. Really? They're not including what the two are saying, the larger segment of their society. So this popular uprising happens. Egyptians are still continuing to protest and strike, by the way, complaining about what they're not making to a very toxic waste dump or waste dumping all over the place, really outside of Cairo. And for, I don't know how many days, for the last couple of days, it's been the second warning in, I guess, 3 days from the Armed Forces Supreme Council. That's what they're calling themselves, to halt all labor unrest because the economy is tanking. It's staggering. It's diving. So they gave the first estimate of how many people, after 18 days in what's being termed as the democratic uprising, right? And the health minister said at least 365 people died. 365. But that doesn't include the cops or prisoners. Remember, the prisoners were let out or got out, escaped, whatever. So it doesn't include those people either. Mubarak's departure set off a revolt around the Middle East. There's lots of anti-government demonstrations in Libya, Bahrain, Jordan, Yemen. So the hornet's nest, as I describe it, has been kicked open. Someone has kicked it right in the middle, right in the gut. And is this ultimately a good thing, or do things spiral out of control in an area where there really wasn't very much control. In other words, there's a lot of chaos. So the former head of the UN's nuclear watchdog agency even felt compelled to release a statement saying, there's an absence of transparency in the way the military rulers are running Egypt. Really? You thought they were going to just tell it all, have a daily briefing? The way they're running the affairs or making decisions that could impact the transitional period, because that's what we're in now, and the future of democracy in Egypt. And there was one last caveat in the warning. The concern is this could throw Egypt back into the old regime, throw it back into a dictatorship. Not surprising. I mean, I hate to say this, not surprising. In fact, I'm going to share a few things with this audience that I got from a very good source, and actually somebody who's been on the show before, who forwarded me some information from Egypt. And in talking about the 18 days, talked about some things that maybe people weren't realizing was happening in Cairo. For example, things that were on the record, things that were off the record with the demonstrations. Here's kind of a thumbnail sketch of it. They're talking about that the reality and the truth is that the Muslim Brotherhood is playing a dangerous game, abusing legal people's political and economical demands for more reform, and then riding and directing the public's demonstrations while hiding their real political belongings and hidden agenda. Being supported, and this is the scary part, take it for what it's worth, very good source, very, very good source with very good information, being supported by outsiders in Iran, saying a lot of this is orchestrated by Iran. Qatar, which the Bedouins state became a country, what, in 1971, owns Al Jazeera Channel. They play a big role because, of course, what are they spreading? They're trying to weave rumors, and they're maximizing all the negative imagery they can in Egypt, right? So there is Al Jazeera is trying to bring as much national attention to an unstable country as possible, and approaching this as a massive failure. And in the background, the strings are being pulled by not just Iran, but others in groups with terrorist ties, familiar groups that we've talked about, people who are members of Hamas and Hezbollah. They've orchestrated some of the problems, right? So it's like the prisons. On one of the very beginning days, armed groups that were supported by criminal gangsters, for example, attacked 8 prisons, right, out of different cities. There was gun battles, of course, with security forces, and it caused serious fatalities. Remember, no cops were listed in the fatalities that I talked about. Also damages to the various sites. So releasing thousands of convicted criminals among the people were, members of Hamas and Hezbollah, who appeared a couple of days later on the Hamas and Hezbollah TV celebrating their great escape through the secret tunnels out of Egypt. So what do you think that's about? Stay with us, more to come here on ATN.
Your natural, organic, herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have
problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection action so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
There's trouble all over the Middle East between Hezbollah, Hamas, Iran, and the Muslim Brotherhood. Just a little bit of some of the stuff that I've verified. Of course, a lot of this, all of us can speculate and say, yeah, that's what's happening. We know what's going on there. But I'm telling you that the source, my source, dead on, has sent me an Egyptian intelligence report with no holds barred. So just the facts, ma'am, not the political thinkings. Like, I think these guys are... Now, here's what's happening. Boom, boom, boom. Here's what happened this day, that day. Just a list of everything. And it's horrifying to read the lists. But, you know, you could see some of it unfolding, but it was a question of... The rhetoric surrounding it or wrapped in it is, oh, these people that went to democracy. And sure, I'm sure there are a lot of people that are in the streets that went to democracy. But think of the people who now have been involved in this, in what's happened and fed into it and now have some sort of stake or want to put their flag into Egypt. In other words, plant their flag. And the people who could plant their flag are scary people. And I mean, we know this. They're scary people, right? I mean, you look at one communique, AK-47 Molotov cocktails on the Ministry of Interior by Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas operators, insisting to storm one of the major buildings wave after wave, but it all failed due to effective defense of the security guards, costing the attackers high casualties. You'd have stuff like that, and then you would turn around and hear where you don't have cops everywhere. You have criminal gangsters, so they would take on the shopping malls, the jewelry stores, the banks, the restaurants, looting. Of course, we knew this. Armed attacks. But armed attacks even to houses, villas, and buildings in the suburbs. So you even wonder about the casualty total. It's probably why police weren't on the total. And criminals weren't there either, because how many more bodies, I hate to say it, would be stacked upon the civilians that died as a result of this uprising. All right, so quickly, here's a couple of other things to talk about in the Middle East, because we want to round it out, right? I'll tell you what, I say this, I know I say this each and every show, and if I haven't said it lately, thank God I'm an American. I treasure, and I have lived in other places. I went to school overseas for a time, and there are wonderful people in lots of parts of the world. There really are. But to me, we live in the greatest place on the face of the earth, and you really appreciate it when you see the underbelly in some of the other parts of the world. Not the sanitized version that's pumped out. The real stuff. The real stuff. So I said this. You have protesters that hit Libya. You've got Bahrain. There's protesters. Pretty much, it's a mess. Turkey's okay. Saudi Arabia is okay for now. But you look at a map. You look at a map of the Middle East, and there's not a lot of consistency. Of course there's not a lot of consistency. So you have these skirmishes that are arresting. In fact, the one in Bahrain happened during a funeral procession, right? In Egypt, with the military playing secret soldier, you have, smaller protests, but you still have protests because people are unhappy about what they're making in Cairo and Alexandria. They want more pay. They want more money for the longer hours that they put in. $2 a week just is not cutting it. And then in Iran, and we know this, thousands of people have been in Tehran. They turned up actually in Tehran on Wednesday for the funeral of a man killed in an anti-government protest. They got together near Tehran University. There's a lot of tension now crackling over there. And the man who was gunned down was 26 years old. He was shot to death by an outlawed group in Iran. In Iraq, things are still cropping up here and there. And I say cropping up when, dozens of protesters stormed the governor's office and destroyed furniture, set the building on fire. There were demonstrators who filled the streets. Thousands of people have rallied in cities across Iraq protesting. What do you think they're protesting? What's the common theme, if I'm not making it clear? I'll make it clear. Poverty. In Iraq, a 45% national unemployment rate. There have shortages of food, electricity, and water. In Libya, protesters chanting anti-government slogans, demanding the release of a human rights activist. Common theme. Young people disenfranchised, unemployed. We already know, same thing with Tunisia, Yemen. There's a cesspool for you. Of course, in the cesspool, there are some who are trying to survive. Forget thriving. They're just trying to survive. They've had 6 days or so of protests in Aden. In fact, somebody reported that one person was shot and killed when they simply tried to break up what looked to be a peaceful protest. And then you can't confirm it. I mean, this is the other thing. Wow. And King Abdullah in Jordan swore in a new government last week following protests in his country. He said, I'm willing to work with this. I'm willing to do something. And the new government has a mandate for political reform, gee, you think, and is headed by a former general. Interesting. And, I mean, the list goes on and on. I could go through the entire Middle East, but you get it. Like I said, you look at a map. Turkey, they're okay. But you look Libya, Egypt, Jordan, and you wonder why Israel is sweating it out. You look at Syria, Iraq, Iran. And I'm telling you, not for nothing I'm saying this. I mean, I know a lot of us certainly know the Middle East and your head and everything else, but you go to that globe and you really look and you piece these countries out and you get it and you see it. You do. All right, I want to end on an up note. Well, it might not be an up note, but it's a follow-up. Not surprisingly, I knew this was going to happen. Remember I told you about Watson the computer on Jeopardy? Do you know that Watson the computer on Jeopardy finished off all the humans, the two guys that were on the show with him? So this IBM creation was smarter, this supercomputer, I guess technically, was smarter than the two champions, the amazing champions that Watson took on. Just finished them off flat. Yeah. So what does this mean about computers? In one way, it's exciting. In another way, it's very, very, very scary. It really is. But hats off to Watson. Do we have some applause for the computer? Woo! So if you didn't see any of it, it was a 3-day challenge. Yeah. And people, and what was interesting is throughout it, really Alex Trebek had to explain what the computer was, just for lack of running out of time. And I've talked about this before, is a processing power of 2,800 powerful computers all trumped in there, if you know what I mean. And the idea was IBM said Watson as a machine could rival our ability to answer questions that's actually posed in natural human language. And Watson was quicker to the draw than the opponents. And that made the big difference. Watch out, computers. They really are going to take over the world.